welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working from home on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, January 29, 2021. President Salva Kiir tells communities in Jonglei State and the Greater Pibor Administrative Area that he will not intervene to stop their communal fights.
Next time when you go and fight, I will not come to your rescue again, nor form a committee to go to the war zone. The few soldiers I have, I will bring them close to me.
And the United Nations revokes South Sudan's voting rights due to unpaid annual membership fees.
Whether South Sudan is suspended or not suspended from the right of voting, that will not have any impact, because after all, even if we vote or we don't vote, what does it help?
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Some analysts based in Juba say President Salva Kiir's Wednesday remarks in Juba, when he closed the Jonglei State and the Greater Pibor Administrative Area Peace Conference, is disturbing. Mr. Kiir told participants at the conference that his government will not intervene to stop future intercommunal violence in the two areas. Agustino Tingmayai, a policy analyst and a researcher with the SAD Institute, says he hopes the two communities will not take Mr. Kiir's remarks as a license to continue fighting themselves. For VOA News, David Monodanga reports from Juba.
Addressing delegates to the Jonglei State and Pibor Administrative Area Peace Conference in Juba on Wednesday, President Salva Kiir said the national government will not intervene should conflict break out again among communities in Jonglei State.
Next time when you go and fight, I will not come to your rescue again, nor form a committee to go to the war zone. The few soldiers I have, I will bring them close to me and encircle myself with the soldiers and police. And then I see where you will come from. Whoever is chased will be the one to come here. So I have decided that any other fighting that erupts, I won't send either soldiers nor the police. I will leave you to fight yourselves until one section runs from the other.
Agustino Tingmayai, a researcher and policy analyst with the SUD Institute, says he hopes the president misspoke because everybody looks to him to resolve national issues, including deadly conflicts in South Sudan.
It was very unfortunate to hear that he would give up in making sure that security is restored in this community. So it's basically a signal. I'm sure it wasn't intended that way, but it signals the state's inability to basically monopolize violence. And that should be concerning for all of us, the citizens of the country. Should we take the security of our own in our own hands, which is what's happening across the country, then the question is, why should the state exist?
Mayai says he hopes communities will not perceive Kiir's remarks as permission to attack each other.
Hopefully the communities actually find a courage to come together and bring peace among themselves and restore what has been lost in the last, 15 years since South Sudan's became a regional autonomy as well as becoming a state. Because otherwise, what else do we exist for if there's no peace?
James Okuk, a senior research fellow and policy analyst at the Center for Strategic Policy Studies in Juba, says he does not find Kiir's remarks surprising, since the government has not provided protection or other services to its citizens for quite a while now.
That's why we have the UNMISS in the country doing some of those duties. So it's not a new thing, and it's not surprising, because it has been for some time now that people take care of themselves. So the same way they have been taking care for themselves for some time now, I think as human beings, they will find a way how to survive and move on. So if they see that escalation is not good for their survival, they will stop it.
Jame David Kolok, Executive Director for the local advocacy group Foundation for Democracy and Accountable Governance, says President Kiir is frustrated with political community-level conflicts that continue despite the signing of the 2018 Revitalized Peace Agreement. But Kolok says intercommunal clashes have become hugely militarized, which require government intervention.
If the president says that he will never dispatch his forces, neither the police, to be able to confront any emerging threat, that to us, in other words, would actually promote or encourage communities now to fight.
Kolok says Kiir should correct his statement.
We expect him to actually say the government is ready to confront any emerging threat that will disorganize this kind of peace conferences and peace negotiations that we have. So I think it is ideal that that statement is actually reversed or corrected. Otherwise, we are going to see massive resistance toward emerging community threats across the communities in South Sudan.
As a head of state, analysts say President Kiir should be encouraging dialogue and peaceful negotiations between warring communities rather than turning a blind eye to their problems. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
The Transitional Government of National Unity in South Sudan has downplayed a decision by the United Nations to strip the country's voting rights at the UN General Assembly due to unpaid annual membership fees. Government spokesman and the Minister of Information, Michael Makuei, says such decisions has no impact on South Sudan. But Professor Peter Tingwa, a retired South Sudanese senior UN civil servant who worked for several years in various UN peacekeeping missions across Africa, says Juba needs to move swiftly to pay the dues. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wood reports from Juba.
South Sudan is among seven United Nations member states stripped of their rights to vote at the UN General Assembly, according to UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres. In a letter to the President of the UN General Assembly on January 13 and published on the UN website, Guterres lists the amount each country must pay in fees to recover their right to vote. South Sudan has unpaid arrears of 2 years, amounting to $22,804. South Sudan government spokesperson Michael Makuei says the move will not affect South Sudan.
Whether South Sudan is suspended or not suspended from the right of voting, that will not have any impact, because after all, even if we vote or we don't vote, what does it help? But what I know so far is that we are not suspended.
Makuei blames the United States for the UN decision to strip South Sudan of its voting rights.
All these sufferings, it is America which is subjecting us to all this. All the resolutions that are being taken against the government of South Sudan and against the people of South Sudan and some other countries whose America is a penholder are prepared and presented by America in the name of defending democracy.
Professor Peter Tingwa, a retired South Sudanese senior UN civil servant who worked at UN missions in Somalia and West Africa, says although the suspension does not prevent South Sudan from benefiting from UN support in humanitarian assistance and peacekeeping, it lowers the country's self-esteem.
It is shameful. Your members who are representing them will always walk in the corridors of the secretariat with their head down. So it is much more that than being affected by, for example, denying anything.
Tingwa says being suspended from voting at the UN General Assembly limits a country's influence and ability to strengthen its diplomatic ties and actions.
If there is an issue, the Africans are lobbying, everybody is lobbying for whatever position. And you feel you cannot be very effective in that one. So that is what makes it bad, you know, when you cannot be effective.
Jock Madut Jock, a policy analyst with Soot Institute, says he is not surprised South Sudan was stripped of its UN voting rights, given the way Juba has been managing its affairs with international bodies, including the African Union. He says South Sudan's suspension from voting at the UN diminishes its worthiness.
psychological impact on the entire population of South Sudan for their country being, image of their country being watered down and diminished in such a way. And of course, it has impact on the way the country will deal with the, all the United Nations agencies that are operating in that country, including the United Nations mission in South Sudan, UNMISS.
Jock says South Sudan must quickly rectify the UN decision by paying its dues.
The country should really ensure that these things are not taken lightly. Usually the country will claim that it's due to lack of finances, while in fact the country is generating a lot of revenue. And I think it's a symbol of irresponsibility on the part of the country, on the people who run it, who run that country, to let these things happen.
South Sudan also in recent years failed to pay its dues in the African Union and the Nile Basin Initiative. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
The International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies is appealing for 27 million Swiss francs to respond to the humanitarian crisis brought about by the conflict in Ethiopia's Tigray region. The International Committee of the Red Cross says it is also appealing to donors for additional 20 million Swiss francs to urgently expand its response to acute humanitarian needs in and around Tigray. For VOA News, Nabil Biagio reports from Washington.
The IFRC and International Committee of the Red Cross, or ICRC, are providing food, water, shelter, and healthcare to millions of internally displaced people, refugees, and host communities affected by the unfolding crisis in Ethiopia. At a virtual joint news conference yesterday, ICRC's head of delegation in Ethiopia, Katia Sorin, said her organization needs additional funding to keep providing essential and life-saving assistance to people affected by the war in Tigray.
The ICRC is scaling up its response and presence in Tigray, launching a budget appeal for 20 million Swiss francs. We will do so while maintaining our humanitarian activities in other violence affected areas of Ethiopia as per our national program. This is very important for ICRC to continue implementing our mandate and activities as previously planned.
The war in the Tigray region, which erupted in early November, has affected some 3 million people, according to the Ethiopian Red Cross Society. The violence also forced tens of thousands of refugees across the border into neighboring Sudan and Djibouti. Sorin says part of their work is to reunite separated families who cross into Sudan and provide health services in refugee camps inside Sudan.
In eastern Sudan, ICRC works with the Sudanese Red Crescent to respond to the restoring family links needs of refugees from Tigray. We will also assist two health structures and the Kassala Teaching Hospital, one of the region's referral hospitals, to enable them to continue to provide adequate medical care to host communities and incoming sick or wounded refugees without being overwhelmed.
John Roach is the head of Country Cluster Eastern Africa for the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Society. He says the conflict in Tigray is struck at a very bad time when the entire region of the Horn of Africa is struggling with multiple challenges.
It's a confluence of crises which are mutually exacerbating and continues to unfold in the eastern Horn of Africa from a region on a scale that we've rarely seen in decades. There are more than 22 million people severely or what we would call severely food secure across the region of Ethiopia, Kenya, Somalia, South Sudan and Sudan. And the prognosis over the next months is not great as we fear droughts, a drought. So these numbers will only increase.
Roach says the situation is further exacerbated by the invasion of desert locusts in Ethiopia, Uganda and South Sudan, as well as the COVID-19 pandemic.
Our emergency appeal seeks a total of 27 million Swiss francs. This will enable the IFRC to support the Ethiopian Red Cross, the Sudanese Red Crescent, and the Djibouti Red Crescent to deliver humanitarian assistance and recovery support to some 660,000 people, internally displaced, refugees, and host communities. for a period of up to 18 months.
Roche says the IFRC urgently needs the funding to carry out disaster risk reduction, livelihood services, and to provide basic services such as water and sanitation. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for life. The fact that I am able to live a full life and be able to do the kind of things that I want to do.
I'm very thankful for my life, my children, and my job. My job helps me to get money. I'm very, very thankful for that.
I thank Allah for my life and for my parents.
I'm grateful because I've attained at least education. The education is going to help me get a job and get other opportunities in life.
I'm thankful for my family, my friends, my husband, my children, and all the lovely friends of mine who have been helpful to me.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. We move to neighboring Tanzania, where opposition politicians and activists have criticized President John Pombe Magufuli's dismissal of COVID-19 vaccines as ineffective at a time other African countries rush to get their people inoculated. Magufuli's critics have been pushing the government to clarify the status of the pandemic in Tanzania, which is yet to give official figures of COVID-19 infections and deaths since May. For VOA News, Charles Kombe reports from Dar es Salaam.
Tanzanian President John Magufuli's sharp rejection of COVID-19 vaccines was made Thursday with criticism, concern, and confusion. Magufuli, in his speech Wednesday, scorned the idea of a lockdown to prevent the coronavirus from spreading and poured doubt on the effectiveness of vaccines. He claimed that Tanzanians vaccinated abroad had brought a coronavirus variant back to the country and repeated his stance that prayer and healing steam offered better protection.
Simameni imara. Chanjo hazifai.
You should stand firm, said Magufuli. Vaccinations are dangerous. He said if the white man was able to come up with vaccinations, he would have found a vaccination for AIDS, tuberculosis, malaria, and cancer by now. Tanzania's opposition politicians criticized Magufuli's words as undiplomatic and sending a poor message to the world. Zitto Kabwe is a former member of parliament and a leader of the opposition Alliance for Change and Transparency Party.
Africa is struggling because of the limited supply of vaccination. And here you have a president of the second largest economy in East Africa. And this president saying that vaccinations are problematic. You know, this is extremely dangerous, and I really don't know how deadly this comment from the president will be going forward.
Tanzania's government stopped reporting cases of COVID-19 in May when it had 509 infections and 21 deaths. Magufuli said there was no need to report cases or take precautions against the virus because God had protected Tanzania from it. Tanzanian activists and critics have been posting on social media urging the government to reveal COVID-19 infections in the country. Kumbusho Dawson is an activist with the Change Tanzania organization.
Sioni jitihada zozote. Rai yangu kwa serikali ichukue tahadhari.
Dawson says he doesn't see any measures by the government, but it should be taking all necessary precautions and following the World Health Organization's advice. He says people should wear masks and wash their hands to keep Tanzanians safe from the coronavirus disaster. The WHO's Regional Director for Africa, Dr. Mashidiso Moeti, also urged Tanzanians on Thursday to ramp up public health measures. She tweeted that science shows vaccines work, and encouraged Tanzania to prepare a COVID-19 vaccination campaign. The contrasting messages from the world and Magufuli leaves some Tanzanians, like Dar es Salaam resident Dorcas Msele, confused.
At least ule wakati ile mara kwanza ile
She says at least during the first wave of the pandemic, they were given instructions on what to do, and the schools were closed and all that. But now, says Msele, if people decide to wear a mask or not, it seems okay. If they wash their hands or not, still okay. Msele says it confuses us, and we don't know the extent of the problem. Magufuli was re-elected in a disputed October election, but has come under increasing criticism from opposition parties and Western governments for stifling democracy. Charles Kombe for VOA News, Dar es Salaam, Tanzania.
We love to hear what you think about this show. My colleague Nabil Biagio received more comments this week about issues in our news. Over to you, Nabil.
Thanks, John Tanza. We have some interesting comments today. I will start with Tong Abraham from Bor in Jonglei State, who writes, "Hi VOA, South Sudan is a shameful place to work with humanitarian actors. I'm sorry for what happened in Maban. Please forgive them and continue supporting the innocent people." George A. Christopher from Juba writes, "Hello VOA. I would like to extend my sincere thanks to the VOA team in Washington and all your reporters around the world, and South Sudan in particular, for keeping us updated with the reliable and accurate news and events in and around South Sudan. Special regards to John Tanza and Moki Idwin Kenzeka. I like listening to your voices." Peter Goj Anyang Majongdul in Duk Paiwel comments on our story about garbage collection in Juba Town. He writes, "The Juba City Council needs to have the ability to make the town clean, because what we have in Juba is more than garbage." Samuel Remo in EA writes, "Hi VOA South Sudan in Focus. I'm very excited to hear on VOA News that the world health experts have manufactured vaccines for COVID-19. But my question is, why did the world health experts fail to manufacture vaccines for HIV/AIDS and TB? He asks. Mal Adao Mal in Bortown writes, "Hello VOA. I don't think the so-called Jonglei Peace Conference that was held in Juba will yield any peace dividends, because those who were at the conference are not the perpetrators of cattle raids and child abductions in Jonglei State. That conference should have been held within Jonglei at the grassroots." James Ray Majok in Bantu Town writes, "The South Sudan government needs to address issues of communal violence, plus cattle raiding and unknown gunmen ambushing travelers. It is a great concern to be tackled first by the government of South Sudan." Hakim Cosmos from Yei writes, "Hello VOA South Sudan in Focus. Allow me to send my real appreciation to all of you team of reporters, especially Moki Edwin Kinzeka in Cameroon and Naba Muhyiddin in Sudan. Not forgetting John Tanza and Carol Van Dam for connecting us with what is happening in different parts of our country." Rickson Won Kwang from Cairo, Egypt writes, "Hello VOA, I'm thankful to John Tanza for your tireless work throughout the day by sharing with us daily news about what is taking place on the ground in South Sudan and Africa as well. I want to direct this message specifically to our leaders. Our country has been going through chaos and a political tsunami for 8 years. Half of the country's population is seeking refuge in the neighboring countries, and thousands of civilians are sheltering in UN camps across the nation, and starvation is hitting the whole country. Please, the country is bigger than anyone. Let the peace you have signed have meaning to free our civil population from this tragic situation, and let us start a new beginning to embrace peace in our hearts." A listener who calls himself Uncle Jay from Numuli Town writes, "Hello John Tanza, I'm very glad to hear that pastoralists in Terkeke County of Central Equatoria State have resolved to establish mobile courts to try suspected perpetrators of the recent cattle raids, and they returned 64 herds of raided cattle to the rightful owners in Lanya County. This is the real act of putting our words into action. Meanwhile, to avoid tribal polarization, my humble request to the parties that signed the revitalized peace agreement is speed up the implementation process, because there is already a political vacuum at the state level, and this is dangerous to the common people." Joel Amoret from the Sudanese capital Khartoum writes, "Disarming the youth in Jonglei State is not the solution, because by removing guns out of their hands, they would have no food to eat and it can worsen the situation. I think the solution should be for the government, NGOs and other stakeholders to empower youth in entrepreneurial skills to enable them to start their small-scale businesses that can sustain their lives and also improve their standards of living. Thanks, John Tanza and the team. Your nice coverage of South Sudan and the rest of the world is very informative and educative. Voice of America informs us on daily basis about what is happening around the globe. Thanks and have a nice Friday. A listener who calls himself Emmanuel the Wise writes from Yambio, Western Equatorial State. Hello VOA South Sudan in Focus. Congratulations to VOA for the well-done job in updating us with current affairs in the world. The show is very productive to us, the youth, in knowing what is happening around the globe. Keep up the clean job. Yambio is peaceful in terms of updates. Thanks to John Tanza. Luca Amanya Olyang Babus from Torit, Eastern Equatorial State writes, I congratulate your company for the tireless and hard work in collecting news from across South Sudan. But I am concerned about your mode of getting your sources because I don't understand some of your sources. You need to improve on this front.
Keep those comments coming. Our WhatsApp number is +202-630-8011. We will air your comments every Friday. That's our show for this Friday. We now leave you in a dancing mood with Koffi Olomide and Diamond Platnumz with their song, Wa. Listening to Koffi Olomide and Diamond Platnumz with the song Wah. I'm John Tanz in Washington. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, wear a mask when you are in public places, and do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Salamu iwe kwa miguu. Usinikuse usinitaji tusalimiane kwa miguu. Kwa sababu